You have no idea who's surrounding you right now that are just waiting for you to give them everything you have. It's not about you right now. It's about actually you developing the next person.
Well, welcome back to the Church Circle podcast, the podcast that celebrates church creatives. And this is episode 2. Last week we had Brady Shearer, who brought some absolute wisdom. And I thought, who could follow Brady Shearer? And I knew there was only one person for the job. And that is Mr. Ron Starling, who was from Tulsa, or was in Tulsa. And he's got some updates for us. But how are you doing, sir?
Okay, well, if you did not know, and you know me, or you don't know me, my name is Ron, and I just moved to Dallas, Texas, the good old country of Dallas, Texas, or Texas in itself. But man, I am so good. It's an honor to be here. This is a podcast for creatives, by creatives, me and you.
Yep.
The last time we saw each other was a year ago, actually, on another podcast, and life was drastically different.
Yes.
You didn't have a baby, and nope. I was living in another state. Yeah, congratulations on your son, Elijah.
Thank you.
And around this time last year, I was like just having fun creating things for myself and a couple other churches. And for my job, I used to work at a church called Transformation Church. Represent, you already know.
Just a small church, now, you know, Transformation, you've never heard of it.
Just a small church in Oklahoma. I just recently, in the past 6 months, just left this transition off staff. And actually now I'm working with another pastor. His name is Manny Orango in Dallas, Texas. And what we do is all the time, we travel all around the country and he preaches all around the world. And I'm just out here making content for him and a couple other churches. And I help consult other churches. So I'm excited to have this conversation to open a dialogue. I think that we can actually get to another level. Actually, one of my mentors said it like this: small tweaks lead to giant peaks. And I just want to tweak us so that we can actually get to a whole another level together. So I'm glad that you're here.
I love that.
I'm glad that we're here. So let's do this.
He's getting straight into it. I said to him before we started, I said, this podcast is no fat. It's all meat. So straight into it. Love it. But yeah, Ron's kind of played down his story a little bit there. Ron has done some pretty major things in the church creative space in the last few years. Not just, you know, in the church that he's in, or where he's positioned at that moment, but also in terms of inspiration for other creatives across the country and across the globe. I've been following Ron for maybe 3 or 4 years now, especially in that kind of COVID pivot. And the stuff that Ron has been posting and creating and inspiring people with has been insane. And he just keeps taking to another level. So yeah, thank you for joining us. You guys are going to enjoy this conversation because it's mainly going to be Ron talking about some really cool stuff, and I'll jump in at various points with, oh yeah, great, that's interesting. But it's great to be here with him. And so crazy stuff that you're kind of moving around the country. You're doing loads of crazy stuff. Yeah. You said a few churches. We're looking close to 10 churches. So you're a very busy man. We'd had a previous conversation, so I'm not stalking him, I promise. But You're busy man, and you've had a lot of experience building creative team, being in a creative team. And I think we kind of want to pivot the conversation that way today. First off, you know, you Transformation is seeing a huge increase in growth and in just in its platform. You kind of started quite early on, right?
I think like 2019 was my introduction to Transformation Church. Actually, 2017 was my introduction to Transformation Church. Before they blew up, I actually met the future social media director at a conference. So I met him. We like, you ever just meet someone and you're like, yo, I'm supposed to know you? I honestly, if you meet someone like that, get to know that person. Do not talk to that person because you have no idea what can come from it. We met. I posted him on my Instagram. I never post anyone on my Instagram. That's weird. And I was like, yo, this is my bro for real. He gets a job at Transformation Church like 3 months later. And he's like, I'm the social media guy and I don't really necessarily know what I'm doing. He's so gifted, but he actually has never really used a camera. He doesn't know how to take pictures, doesn't know how to make videos. And I'm like, wait, what? That doesn't even make any sense. So we're talking on the back end about building a team, having a small group specific to creatives so that he can always manage his team and also be a community with them. That's a major hack, by the way. If you're on staff at a church and you're supposed to have a small group, you should have a small group based on your niche. Like if you are in women's ministry, you should have a women's group and they should probably be the leaders of the women's ministry. And that, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So on and so forth. But so we were doing that. A couple months later, he's like, yo, like this is what we're doing. I'm like, yo, this is so fire. We're both doing social media at the same time. And then they blow up. And I'm like, yo, is this you? Like, I didn't even know that this was your church. And he's like, yep, everything just changed. And the game has been changed ever since then. We stayed friends. I quit my job in 2018. So 2019, they hit me up and I'm like, yeah, man, I don't know if I want to move to Oklahoma. Long story short, I moved there in 2020. And then we finally got to work together. But 2019, their first conference, V1, we all finally got together. Me, Chris, this guy named DJ, this girl named Natalie Reed, Mish Bules. There was maybe one other person, but like it was, I actually have a picture. I will send the photo and hopefully we can put it in this video.
Okay, do it.
We all worked together and created, I feel like, just the perfect conference. Here's why. We made it a window instead of a wall. From the window to the wall is crazy. So here's the thing. A lot of people on social media, they create walls. They create these barriers between the outside world or our phones and everything that happened on the inside of whatever's going on. When in all reality, we need to make the window as big as possible. The most beautiful homes in the world are ones that have the biggest windows. And what do? You peek through. Since you can't be at that thing, you can't be at that event, you can't be at that church. My job, our job as creatives is to make a window. I want to show you everything that's happening. So that's what we did. And then Pastor Michael literally at conference was like, yeah, I don't know what you got going on. But you need to figure out how you get here. And I moved like 2 months later and that was it.
That's crazy. So I think for a lot of people, they've kind of seen transformation from that 2019 onwards. Like it became a thing, like it became like, you know, elevation, transformation.
Wow.
Also, whatever, you know, that kind of, especially in the UK, that was kind of like the big church, right? And I think 2019 was kind of that starting point and people started to pay attention and notice that. Now, I don't say that, you know, as a, you know, how great a big church is, that kind of thing. Like they do really cool things, but let's not forget the small church. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that it's been super cool to kind of see you start somewhere and follow and be part of something that grows exponentially. And I want to kind of pick that apart and start to take that apart and kind of understand kind of what steps you have taken to kind of prepare yourself, prepare your team. And kind of just how you grew with what this kind of huge snowball effect has been. So I guess my first question is, and whether this is from you leading the team or being involved in it, is for someone listening who may be a church creative, let's say a communications director, an art director, they're responsible for a team, they want to grow it, and they want to grow it in a healthy way, right? How do you go from like that small team or even to being like a one man band, like a one man show? How do you go from that to start to build a team? And we talked about this before, but the idea of reproducing yourself. What's your thoughts on that?
Dude, I think reproducing yourself is the most important thing ever. I mean, the Bible says to go out into the world and make disciples. Honestly, like I've applied that to every facet of my life. So even when I got to TC, my whole idea was, okay, everyone that's on my team is on my team, but I'm going to go ahead and reproduce me. So I had three, maybe four people that were with me all the time. Like I had a person, she would literally come to work with me. I don't know how I convinced her to do this, but like she moved to Oklahoma to get an internship and didn't actually get the internship. And I was like, it's okay. You'll be my personal intern. Like, and that doesn't mean that I'm going to make you go get my coffee. That doesn't mean I'm going to make you do things I don't want you to don't want to do. I'm actually going to do the things I don't want to do so that you can actually do what you want to do. So I spent a year and a half serving this person and allowing them to like get chops, doing things that they would never be able to do without being at our church. And I gave her everything. There was a point where she didn't know how to make a graphic. There was a point where she didn't know how to hold a camera. there was a point where like none of those things were in her wheelhouse. Yes. But over the course of time, I was like, yo, you got this. Like, you actually know what you're doing. I don't have to be a part of anything. You know, you probably are better than me at this. And that's really what, that's where you want to get to. There's a guy, his name is Steven Ruiz. Bro didn't know how to change a battery. Like, we were on a shoot and he goes, yo, my camera's dead. I don't know what to do. And I looked at him and I said, I gotta go. Like, there's no way. Like, you don't know how to change a, like, why are you here? And I wasn't aware. I just was like, yo, yeah, let's give you this opportunity and let's train you up. I'm not even gonna lie. I actually told him, I said, hey man, I don't think this is for you, bro. I don't think you should put the camera down. You are really good at designing clothes and shoes. Let's do what you're made to do. Like, if this is what your function is, if this is what your gift is, let's focus on your gift. And he was like, no, Ron, I want to do this. Like, I believe that this is something all my life. And I was like, okay. And I stayed persistent. And I taught him everything. I gave him everything I had. And 4 years later, he's out on top. Like, bro would come to me with trends. Bro would give me good ideas. Bro was like, yo, if you don't do this, like, you're going to miss this. Or he just texts me, hey man, like, I'm thinking about doing this. And I would do it the next day and it will blow up. And I'm like, you know what, man? Like, obviously you got the juice. So, like, you have no idea who you have in your pocket. You have no idea who's surrounding you right now that are just waiting for you to give them everything you have. Like, and I'm actually doing a study right now on Elijah and Elisha. And like, this is an appointed thing. Like, God told him to find Elisha and invest in him. And Elisha said, I want a double portion. And he got it. Like, I think that's our, if you're an elder in any way, shape, or form, if you are a leader in any way, shape, or form, it's not about you right now. It's about actually you developing the next person. And obviously you're going to do great things. Like, I never thought that my life was going to look the way it did. I just knew that I wanted to invest in the next generation. And I'm excited for their time. Now, like, they're locked in. Like, that girl is doing social media at TC and Stevens with Preston Morrison and another guy named Jay Johnson. I love that guy to life. He's like my little brother. And now he's like in DC with this guy named Anthony O'Neill. And they're like, it's because of the investment that I've given to them, they now have authority in their jobs. So you have no idea. I wanted them to all work with me. That didn't work out, but that's okay. Like, and that's actually like, I don't know how this ended up turning into a leadership talk, but that's the pain of being a leader. People can and people will leave you. But you know what? I have to have a heart posture to always want to give, to always want to invest, to always want to lead well without thinking like, oh, this is my person. Like, I'm not entitled to anybody. So, I spent all of my time at TC investing in the people around me, whether that was people on staff or people not on staff. And as long as like they had access to me or I had access to them, it was a constant investment. So, like, to the leader listening, your person that you're looking for on your team may not exist yet. You might have to build them, and that's okay. Or maybe they're already built and they're somewhere else. You got to look for them. But that's why you got to dive into this community. That's why we're all here together. You have no idea who's watching this with you, who's commenting on this video, who's commenting on this podcast, who's actually like, you have no idea. Even Pastor Michael, he was like, one day I was at, I don't know what conference it was, but it was like an Elevation conference. He like snuck into it. There was no seats and God obviously gave him a seat. And then a couple years later, he preached at it. And I'm like, you know what? Like, you have no idea who's already in your house. So hopefully that answered the question, but yeah,
that's good.
There's so many important things when it comes to actually discipling people.
Yeah. I think firstly, you can see, I think one of the things I love about what you do and how you go about doing it is you can see the passion behind it. I feel like your brain is like when you throw like a rubber ball in a room and it just pings everywhere and like you're going from good idea to good idea and there's no stopping you, which I don't want to stop you from bringing those things up. Like, and I think that is a, you know, when you get like an entrepreneur and you're like, you get an insight into their brain. You're like, how do you think that way? I kind of get that vibe with you right now. Like, you know, when you talk to Elon Musk and he's like on a different plane and you're like, what do I have to do to get to that mental place? And that's besides the point. But I think what's interesting about that is it's clear you made a sacrifice as a leader, and it wasn't a sacrifice that was, you know, I'm going to double down on my workload. It was a sacrifice of I'm going to strip back my workload so I can focus on people. And I think quite often as creatives, we get so caught up in the production of stuff that we forget the people that are involved, right? And the only way you're going to get out of the stress of being a one-man band and the stress of just constant production and constant this, you know, conveyor belt of production of assets or whatever it is if you strip back and take some time to actually focus on developing people. I think that some of the best creatives that I know are people focus first and then the creativity comes second. But they always focused on, let me build the person, let me see the talent that's in them. And I think you're right. There are so many people, even in your local church. Like, it was the same thing for me when I started at my local church, one man show. And I had to basically pluck people that were willing, who had a willing spirit. And you know, what, they might not have been passionate about creativity, but they were passionate to serve. And we kind of had to build on that and develop that. And now I see multiple people that were in that team that have gone and done their own thing. They're freelancing for different churches or they're in the industry. And it's like, how cool is that, that when you make the sacrifice to actually build people, you go way further than you ever could have gone yourself, not just for your church, not just for creativity, but for the kingdom. So it inspires me to see that.
I'm reading Ephesians right now and or just doing some kind of study on it, really. And Paul is talking about the body being one and that there are so many different parts to the body, but sometimes the most important parts of the body are the parts that you can't see. The most vital parts of my body are things that you can't see. It's not my fingers. It's not my eyes. It's not my toes. I can live without all of those, but I cannot live without my heart. I cannot live without my liver. I cannot live without my kidneys. Like, I can't live without my lungs. These are parts of the body that you'll never be able to see. And if you do, that's a problem. Like,
but at the end
of the day, Paul is saying, he's like, yo, we've all got a function in our part. And sometimes we meet people and they just don't know what part of the body they function in. And sometimes you've got to teach other people how to develop in it. And as a leader, that's like, it's an honor to be able to do that. There's at least 18 other things that I wanted to say on what you just said, but they're leaving my mind in this current moment. But if I have anything to do with anything, I will always, always, always help my friends understand their function in the body, or help my friends that feel unseen know how valuable they are. I was the person, when I had first started working at a church, I was the person that would hang out with the janitors. Like, because I was like, yo, like, you don't get to be, like, my favorite preachers are the janitors at my old church. Like, we would talk about everything. I've learned so much cleaning bathrooms with people that you would never see. Like, I've learned so much listening to the facilities director than the creative director. That, and I'm no knock to any creative director. I'm just saying, like, I've had monumental times with people who are really in the background. And they were so pivotal even to my life. So you have no idea who really has it. You just got to look for it. You just got to pay attention for it. So that's been my whole life.
That's cool.
Actually, like, sorry, a whole nother segue here. The reason why I think the way I think is because I was in kids ministry for 5 years, 6 years. And no one really knows this part of me. Like, that part of my life was not documented. It is, you can't post other children on
there's no BTS
your Instagram.
Reels.
No BTS for kids ministry. But that was a really huge part of my life. Before I ever had to pick up a camera, God told me to serve in kids ministry, which, oh my gosh, I'm just going to tell the story because I think it's funny. I started serving in kids ministry because I wanted to date this girl. Like, I was like, yo, I took her to prom, right?
Nice.
I was like, yo, she's like, she's so pretty. Like, let's do this. The first, like, real ever, like, Christian dating experience here. So take her to prom. I'm like friends with her family. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, she serves in kids ministry. I'm going to serve in kids ministry because I want to hang out with you. So I sign up for kids. I'm excited. And I see her down the hallway. Like, she's straight down the hallway. She's in, like, the three-year-old's room. She waves at me. I wave at her. I'm about to have the time of my life. It's Sunday. I can't believe all that's going to happen. God is good. So my leader is taking me down the hallway. He's like, this is kids ministry. And I'm just going to show you where you're going to serve. I'm like, I know exactly where I'm serving, baby. I'm right. I'm with her. And he takes me down the hallway and we turn hard left. And like, I'm like, wait, no, what are we doing? So I go into elementary and she's serving in the three-year-old's classroom. Can I tell you, I never saw her again. That was my first and last time seeing her. I never saw her. Like we almost never had a conversation. I just started serving in kids ministry. And long story short, God calls me to kids ministry. And I just take it over. Like months later, I become the kids director. Months later, like it becomes my full-time job. And I had to figure it out. I had to learn how to be something I never thought I could be. I actually have six siblings and I didn't like any of them. So this is actually like, this is God. God is healing my heart while I'm doing this job. And in that time, I learned not only how to communicate, but I learned how to teach other people how to communicate because I can't do everything. I can't be the kids teacher and the game host and the bouncer for the room and security or the audio technician and the graphics person. I couldn't do all those things. I had to learn how to expand myself. So I actually had to give parts of myself away. I had to learn each of them, develop a team for each, a structure and a strategy for each, and make it so that I actually had no position in the classroom. By the time I left kids ministry, I stopped doing anything for about 6 to 8 months. Everything was covered by the time I had left, but it taught me how to build a team. It taught me how to lean on kids that didn't know what they were doing. I had to learn how to spiritually invest in people so they actually could be leaders of a classroom and teach the Bible to children and so on and so forth. But it was a big part of my life that I thought was going to be wasted. But it's helping me develop creatives all around the country. And while I was in kids ministry, I learned graphic design. I learned motion graphics. I picked up video and I learned how to take pictures. So I got paid to teach kids and also learn media all at the same time. And it's completely transformed my life.
You're working tirelessly for your church, juggling multiple tasks. Imagine if your design needs were completely taken care of. Let Church Media Squad step in to ease the load. The squad handles all things media so you can focus on what you do best, discipling your community and spending more time with your people than your computer. Find out more about the squad in this episode's description. So, yeah, I find that cool because I think quite often, especially some of the larger churches, I mean, even, you know, churches that are kind of maybe above like 1,000 or 2,000 people, they get a bad rap because of, you know, maybe just it could be, I don't know, people can perceive it as, you know, this big mega church that only cares about, you know, people, the size of the congregation and the branding, whatever. But what I've realized in my life is that some of these churches are such great incubators for creativity, for really finding your niche in, like you said, like in the in the body of Christ. Like, you know, we can sometimes forget that people will find their passion or, you know, really where they want to serve because the opportunity's been made for them. They actually get to experience that. And I think like you said, like you were in kids and then you suddenly started creating all of these roles that, you know, were so specific, but then people could find their niche within that and actually like bloom and blossom.
And yes.
It's the same thing, especially with kids ministry. Like it's always the, you know, the butt of the joke that basically kids ministry is like the last place that people want to go to. And therefore they'll just take anyone who's willing. But actually what a great like place to like discover hidden talent, people where people like aren't, you know, fully flourished in their gifting. And you can plug them in and say, I see that in you. And therefore I think you should be here. And so that's what I love about the church.
And they can mess up. You can like literally, like kids are going to, they're a little harsh, but you can honestly mess up. And the kids are like, it's okay. Keep going. Like it's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. It's good. I think don't underestimate ministries that aren't directly connected to your calling, right? Like as a creative, in the church. Don't underestimate maybe some of the people that are serving in, like you said, facilities or security or kids or whatever. Like, there are people in there that are just looking for a place to find their gifting, or to discover their gifting, to develop their gifting. And maybe you're the person to kind of see that in them. And like you said, like through groups and through these places of connection and valuing people is actually where you start to develop those things. And how cool would it be in like 20 years time if we kind of look back and saw when people started focusing on people, just how much bigger and the scale that people could like just develop other people's abilities and creativity and the amount of reach. Like you were saying about all these different people that are all over the country now, from like, you chose a select group of people to just foster and to encourage and to guide and to give what you knew, you know, the lot and the knowledge that you have. And now they're all over doing, making impacts in their communities and in their people. And that's just great. So I would say if you're a creative listening, especially if you're one that's leading team, but you don't even have to lead a team to do this, find some people that are a little rough around the edges and that have expressed an interest to you or are just passionate and see what you can develop in them. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so good. Actually, here, I want to say you said this. I think you made this graphic. I could be completely wrong, but it just seems like something you should make, or if you don't, I will.
Okay.
Don't forsake reaching the nations and forget your neighborhood. Like, a lot of people will try to reach the entire world, but forget that the world that they live in, the ecosystem that they live in, is already large. And I want to reach my neighborhood. I want to reach my neighbor. I want to love my neighbor. It's that, and it kind of like even goes into a philosophy that I use in social media. Like, the Bible says to love your neighbor as yourself, right? And I'm like, okay, great. I'm going to love every single person I see on social media. I said this yesterday. I was talking to a team. Like, I know there's people that we just don't like on Instagram. It's like you scroll by and you're like, I'm not going to like their things. And a big reason as to why is simply because they did not like your post on Instagram. You need to get over yourself. I'm so sorry to tell you this, okay? Go ahead, just like everyone's everything. Enjoy it. Enjoy their life. Comment on their things. If you want to receive love, we first need to give love. And it's so crazy that every single social media platform, the way to show love is you give a like. And what do you see? A heart on every single platform. Just give the heart away. It's free and you'll get it back. The reason why no one's liking your things is because you do not spend time liking their things. What do you do every morning? You pick up your phone and you check your Instagram notifications. I know you do. You need to pick up your Bible, but that's another conversation for another time. And the person that likes five of your pictures, you're like, oh my gosh. And then you go check their Instagram. You're like, oh, this person's really cool. And now when you see their thing next, what do? You like the thing. It's a psychological thing. Give the love you want to receive first. And I promise you, your platform will grow, not because other people are following you, but the people that are following you are actually going to pay attention to the things that you're doing because you love their things and they will love your things too. I like, now that I think about it, I don't not like anyone's picture. Like, unless it's inappropriate, I don't like those. I don't want those on my explore page. That's a whole nother story. But like, unless it's inappropriate, if it is inappropriate, honestly, I will usually mute them or block them or unfollow them because I don't need that on my page right now. But I follow a ton of people because I actually care about a ton of people and I like all the things. Like, when my friend Dan Watson just had a kid, bro, I'm like, hey man, like, congratulations. Or if it's somebody's birthday, I tell them happy birthday. I share love because I want the love back, but it's actually because I'm coming from a full place, but this works for everything. Imagine. Ruben, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. Who's like, I mean, like, I'm not talking about like people, you know, who's someone that you're like, yo, this person is insane. Like, I absolutely love this person on Instagram. Who would you say is that?
Okay. First person that comes to mind, who's actually not super active on Instagram, is this guy called Matt, and he designs a lot of album covers, like in a secular world. Matt, his name is like go_Dae Jong, I think.
Okay.
But anyway, he's a great artist. You guys should follow him.
Okay, perfect. This is a great example, right? If Matt looked on your page, like 10 of your things, and said, bro, and DM'd you afterwards, and said, bro, you're killing it. How would you feel?
Oh, like, you know, it's the It's like you're not meeting your hero, but you know what I mean. It's that like that person would take the time out of their day to like do something special for me or to encourage me.
Yes, and
it's almost humbling.
Yes, exactly. That's you answered that so perfectly, Ruben. That's you to a lot of people. Like the person listening, that's you to a lot of people in your neighborhood. That's it to the person running the church Instagram. That's you to a lot of people. Spend time sharing love to someone that's in the hospital and your church comments, your pastor comments, the lead team comments and says, hey, we see that God, like you need help. We're with you. We're for you. We're all praying for you. Send them a video of you praying for them. Don't just say I'm praying for you. Send a video, send a voice note. This is almost the same exact thing as going to the hospital, because I'm like, sometimes you can't actually go visit someone, but they can be on their phone. They might be able to see something. They might have a loved one there saying, oh my gosh, pastor sent this to you. That feels the exact same way. When we like a person's picture, five of their pictures, that's exactly what it feels like. When we send a DM, when we comment on someone's thing, when we like their story, it's the same exact feeling. Why? Because we're not celebrities, but we're people's spiritual leaders. To be honest, that's more important. So you have influence in that way. And I comment on everybody's everything. If you see me on Instagram, I'm commenting on somebody something. Like whether that's a funny meme or something that's trending or my friends or other leaders, I'm always encouraging people. I'm always giving it away. Because I know what that feels like. Guys, I'm just going to go ahead and be honest here. There's when someone followed me on Instagram. One day I woke up and Michelle Williams followed me on Instagram. I'm not trying. This is not a flex. I'm telling you because I literally felt giddy. I called my mom. I texted my auntie. I sent that notification to multiple other people. Auntie Michelle, if you're watching this, I love you, girl. Like, I just thank you. Thank you. Like, so... It just, I was like, I was like, oh my, why, what a destiny, like is this real life happening to me right now? And it proved a theory that I had actually, that I had been saying since I was a kid. Like, I've been doing this for a very long time. But when that interaction happened to me, I was like, oh, this is proof. This is a real life situation. So, we get to do that. Like, if you want to grow on social media, love other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
It feels like this whole conversation and time's going so quickly. We probably could have any time for one more question, but it feels
already?
Like it's all come. Yeah, I know, right? It's gone so quick. It feels like it's all kind of linking back to putting people first. I think that's so often forgotten in our little niche, our little sector, is that we prioritize the creativity and not the people. And it feels like the tide starting to turn on that, and that people are, it's valuing the person behind the account, right? Not just like the influence they have or whatever it might be, but actually being like, hey, if I show that I value people, I will get value back. And like you said, it's not out of a place of needing that value, but it's out of a place of understanding that people will be impacted, encouraged by that. So that's great. Like Ron said, if you are in charge of church communications or social media, whatever it is, maybe that's your strategy for the new year. Like maybe a strategy in 2024 is to focus on, okay, how do I just love people better? Like scrap the content schedule. Well, don't scrap it, but maybe put that to
don't
one
scrap
side.
It.
Yeah. Keep it up. Be consistent. But like, don't let that be the idol of this situation. Don't let that be the thing that you focus on. Maybe look at that through the lens of how do I love people, and then use the content calendar to then as a tool to implement that. And like, if you can just get your vision through that lens, I think that will make a big difference, especially in your local communities. Like you said, like with your neighbors. So this is for the social media managers, the creative directors, the communications manager, whatever, like someone who's in charge of the vision and the direction of their team.
Okay.
As a content creator yourself, and I don't like using that word, but as someone who, creates content, what are some of the tips that churches and content creators and creatives can implement today? So they don't need to have the right camera or the right laptop, or they don't have to buy followers. what are the things they can do today that will take their reach and their mission and just their, you know, their passion to the next level of reaching people online.
Great. Okay. I'm going to tell you the hack to win on social media. Content pillars. Okay. You need to create 5 to 6 content pillars. For example, worship is a content pillar, right? The message is a content pillar. People can be a content pillar, right? Another one could be, I'm going to let you use your imagination there, but I want to make sure that you have 4 to 5, 5 to 6 pillars. This is now a type of post that you can have every single day of the week. Okay. And do your best to create team members that can fill those content pillars. So now you actually have something to post every day instead of saying, come to church or church is great. That's okay. Great. Still do those posts if you want. I personally won't be doing those, but, if you can fill up those content pillars, you'll never not have content. And then it also just makes it so that you don't have to think. The way that our brains work is we're very, I believe it's left-brained. I don't know which one it is, but whatever side is the creator side, we use that side of our brain the most, which means that it actually is really hard for us to switch sides of our brain and be administrative. So you as a creative leader, you as the director, you must create structure for us so that the creatives can actually function in without having to think. We just need to make, if we can just create, we win. Or pick another day and we just need to organize, we win. So if we stay as organized as possible, creatives actually function the best within boundaries. So you create the boundaries for us. You create the brand guide. You tell us exactly what it is that we need, and we'll just keep filling those content pillars so that you'll never lose. You can actually create a schedule based on that content pillar and never stop. Hey, look, why Wednesday? I tell everybody this. Why Wednesday? What's your why? People, the people that are coming to your church on Wednesdays, post interviews that you did on Sunday with people. Like if you've ever seen confessions or stories from a stranger, he just asked random people on the street, who's your first love and why? I'm going through his page crying. You could do the exact same thing for random people inside of your church on any sermon series and ask them real questions. You could ask them the same question, do it for 4 weeks in a row for random people and post it on Wednesdays. So like just create content pillars and continually fill it. You'll never run out of things. You'll always have worship photos. Like every service you sing 3 to 4 songs. That's 3 to 4 videos you could post throughout the week. Your pastor's got 3 to 4 points in their sermon. That's 3 to 4 posts that you can post throughout the week. Then you still got the Why Wednesday. You still got to like throw a meme on a Friday, invite people to church on a Saturday with a trending sound. And now you got a full week of content and you haven't even had to think about it. Those are all things that I know that you're doing at your church. But sometimes we're like, what do we do? How do we do this? Those are the things that gets people to come to church because I'm seeing what's happening inside your church. And we have not said, come to this event. We have not said kids ministry is doing this. And you can still do those things. So if you can think structurally, it allows you to think less when you have to create things. Because if you can create with the least amount of energy, you can do this for a long amount of time. And if you can create the least amount of resistance for your team, you win.
That's great. And that goes back to the point, doesn't it? Of like, if you're thinking about how do I make time and how do I make space to develop people? If you could find these hacks where you can, like this is the same for me in my personal work. So my personal Instagram, every 2 months I'll sit down and I'll plan out the content for every day pretty much for those 2 months. So that when I get down to designing, I have the prompt and I have what type of content it's going to be and I can make it. There's reducing resistance because that keeps me going. It gives you the longevity. And you could do that for your team. And that's how you can use it as a tool to develop people. Like you said, those pillars, choose a different person with pillars. Okay, maybe you've got one person who is interested in video. Maybe they can be the ones that watch the sermons, make points, and then make some reels out of that. You know, those are, and then you've done two things. You've developed someone or you're developing someone and you're kind of taking the pressure off social media so you can continue to do that again. So it's a great thought. There's lots of great thoughts in this podcast. We are at time. I would love to keep chatting, but we'll have to do a part 2 at some point.
That'd be insane.
I always enjoy chatting to you, so it's I'm going to leave here feeling inspired. But do you have any final thoughts? I'll let you kind of sign off with some final thoughts before we wrap up.
Yeah. Final thought, because I'm going through this right now, moving from state to state, leader to leader, a lot of transition. I submit this to you. Submit to your leader. Submit to the person that's over you, even though you might know more than them, even though they might frustrate you, even though it might not feel exactly like you think it is. God is not here to coddle our feelings. He's actually telling us to have our feelings submit to our spirit. If Jesus could submit to his mother, the savior of the universe, our Lord and Savior, if Jesus could submit to his earthly mother, you can submit to that one leader that you're like, I don't fully agree. Because you have no idea what that honor is going to be unto. There are many things that none of you know about that I was like, I don't know if I want to do that. But I did it because it wasn't about my feelings. It was about me submitting. And obviously there are boundaries, there are limits there, but submit. I think it's going to, God cares a lot about that. He cares a lot about your obedience, and he will honor that if you do it well.
Well, if you guys enjoyed this podcast and you enjoyed what Ron just started going into, we'll have to do a whole podcast on that topic, on submission and on leadership. And maybe we can talk about some of the boundaries as well.
That would be
huge. I think that would be a good one. Maybe season two, we dive into that. But Ron, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. If someone wants to find out more, since you are here, there, and everywhere on social media, what's the best way for someone to either connect with you or to see what you're doing? How can people find out more?
Oh my goodness. Here's how you can find out more. DM me, connect with me. You don't even have to follow me. Just connect with me. I want to actually have a conversation with you. Let's do life together. I want to know what's happening in your life, and I'll gladly tell you what's happening in my life. So at Ron Starling on Instagram, TikTok, all the other ones, I try to keep it the same, but actually message me. I would love to actually talk to you.
Well, there you go. Thank you again, Ron, for joining us. And if you guys have enjoyed this podcast, please leave a like. A review would be super helpful as well if it's on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And if you are on YouTube, give it a thumbs up, leave a comment, maybe share with someone who needed to hear this. But this is the Church Circle podcast. This was episode 2. Episode 3 is next week. Very exciting guest called Sally. And she is one of the hidden gems who's going to bring a lot of wisdom. So stick around for that. And Ron, thank you again. And see you guys next week. Thanks.